The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Happy Monday to you right here on 710 KNUS. It's George Rockler with The George Show. It's December the 5th, folks. I can't remember why that's a special day, but somewhere in my mind it tells me I've forgotten someone's birthday. So if it's you and you're out there listening, happy birthday. I've been thinking about this all year. Kelly Michaels just walked by. Wonderful haircut, Kelly. I wanted to save that on the podcast forever. Beautiful haircut. I don't know when you enlist, but good luck. Hey, the weather voodoo practitioners say that today, 53 degrees. That's kind of nice for December. 50 tomorrow, and then it drops down to 45. Now, we know that after that, it Billy, I had saved maybe 10 pages of weather stuff inside my live read book. Someone has pulled it out and thrown them all away.
The purge. That was not me.
Whoever got into that book should be instantly fired. And two, I presume it was the weather guys.
I'm sure it was.
Because here I am documenting every single day of their nonsense. That's the only way to do it. You cannot go back in time and find their past predictions.
They erase them.
They erase them for obvious reasons. And now some bastard here at 710 KNUS has gotten into our book that we've been told, Billy, no human being is allowed to touch this except someone from the sales department. So if you're from sales and you're listening, clean out your desk. It's over. If you're the one that cleaned out this book, goodbye and good riddance.
You assume they come into the office regularly at the first.
Well, that's true. We don't really. It's very much like a Groundhog Day. If they come in and see anyone, they leave for the day.
It's like a professional hide and go seek game that you have to find them.
That's just about as the most disappointing thing I could have had on my Monday morning. Here I was ready to continue to crush the weather people. I'm guessing somebody from Channel 4, 7, 9, or 31 reached out to the sales team and said, $10. Or for those guys, they're cheap enough, probably like half a donut.
Yeah.
And come in and rip out those pages so Brockler can't keep holding us accountable.
Yeah. Give them like a Subway coupon.
An expired Subway coupon. Because they're not checking.
No, they're not.
I mean, let's be honest. That is incredibly frustrating. We're going to get to the bottom of this, and we're going to heads will roll. Not like Twitter and all that stuff, but something like that will happen. It was a drill weekend for me, which means I got to spend a lot of good time with some great Coloradans who get together to do all that stuff you can imagine to make yourselves ready for something you never want to see happen, and that is to either fight the God-made or man-made disasters that are out there. So this is a team of folks, the National Guard, who are very, very different in some ways, in a very important ways, from the reserve and the active duty component, and that is they can respond to things at the state level more quickly and with more authority than the reserves or any of the Title 10 soldiers can. And so these are great folks. And we got together, we had what's called a MUTA 6, but it was like three different drills kind of all jammed into a short period of time. And so yesterday was the Christmas / holiday, whatever it was, where you put on the ugly sweaters and you go do that other thing. I was fortunate enough to find at a place called Sam's Club a Peanuts sweatshirt that fit me that lit up, that has the little tree lights on it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man, I was the belle of the ball. There was no doubt about that.
I went the extra mile. That's nice.
It was super nice. It was good to see some other folks there. There was a buddy of mine, Andrew Diedrich, who could listen to this, by the way, on the podcast. So, Andrew, I'm going to repeat to this audience what I told you yesterday. And I said, I know that there was some confusion and controversy about whether or not spouses were invited. I said, I'm just glad to see that Andrew found the sweet spot he didn't bring his spouse, but he did bring her sweater.
That's
what he was wearing. It was wonderful.
I love that. I love that. That's fantastic.
Anyway, good times. And so this coming up Friday. For sports, all we had were practices. That's not true. Doubleheader basketball on Saturday, which I couldn't get to the first game because of drill. I used my lunchtime to haul butt back to Highlands Ranch to watch game two. Game one, of course, Graham and his team win. Game two, oh, man alive.
So you're saying you're a jinx.
Either I'm a jinx or something. But I'm watching these kids, and God bless them, man. Once they get down, there's a good number of them that just can't pick their jaws up off the ground. It's a killer, because that thing right there is such a game changer at that age. And then in the future, too. But if you get down and you get convinced you can't come back, it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Nobody wins believing it's over. You know, it just doesn't happen. So that was a tough game to watch. I thought Graham and a couple of his buddies were in it the whole way, but some folks just got to that point where they were like, oh, you know, we're down by 10. We're down by 50. It's like, yeah. Fight back, man. Fight back. But I love that team, and I love the parents that coach that thing. It's a good group of folks, but hopefully next weekend's better. District wrestling tournament this Friday for G-Man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I can tell he's nervous. It's a big one. Anxious to see if he can do better than he did last year. Of course, in his mind, he wants to win the whole thing, and I love him for that, man. He's just that ambitious.
Well,
Yeah. That's how he wants to go into everything. I want him to do it, too. We'll see what happens. Anyway, I don't want to spend the whole time taking up all the oxygen in the room. We have a big guest coming in studio here later. I will tell you about that. Somebody named Deb Flores is doing something out there in Washington, D.C. this morning for the Lori Smith case. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that, not too much. Don't want to interrupt the excitement going on out there. And then all the other good stuff. But we really can't get started until we do the best part of the morning show. If you're a 6 o'clock listener, you get the benefit of hearing this train wreck live. You get the ability to say, I heard it before the FCC made them take it down. You know, that's the kind of joy you get from being a part of the Thorpe Report.
Yeah.
And you choose the news. William, how was your weekend?
It was good, sir. It was good. We had to do a lot of stuff around the house, did the Christmas decorations. As I showed you a picture before the show, the kittens are trying to climb the Christmas tree. Right now, they're just in the bottom branches. So that's a fun little job I have over the weekend to try to keep the cats out of the tree. The funny thing is both the cats, again, I have to recommend, if you get kittens, get the collars with the bells. You need the collars with the bells. Otherwise, it's like having tiny little ninjas around the house that you can't see, and they mess stuff up. So our kittens have little collars with bells on them, which is great. And it also serves now as a warning device. When this Christmas tree starts making jingle bell noises, that is DEFCON 1. You must deal with that right away before something else bad happens. So it's kind of nice.
Could you put the litter box under the tree? And
That would just encourage them.
But maybe it would encourage them to stay south. Yeah, I don't know what they would end up doing.
Yeah, so that was
I like
funny.
The bells thing, because you can't wake up with the cat on your chest holding a pair of scissors or something without you knowing.
Yeah, and it is help, because otherwise you have no idea where they are. Well, good morning, sir. Taking a look at our news, following the lead of Colorado Governor Jared Polis, there are some lawmakers, including State Representative Meg Froelich, who's a Democrat out of Inglewood, that say it may be time to consider changes to our red flag law. Some of the suggestions, expanding who can petition the court to have the guns removed from someone's custody, and other ideas. Democrat State Senator-elect Tom Sullivan, who lost his son in the 2012 Aurora Theater shooting and is sponsored the red flag law as a House member in 2019, said lawmakers have discussed who should be able to petition the court, but it keeps getting narrowed down. Froelich chairs a new gun violence prevention caucus and said that lawmakers have options. That no matter what tweaks we make to the red flag law, she says, we're going to have to look at implementation and also look at enforcement and a whole host of gun violence prevention measures that we've already passed. Elsewhere, a 16-year-old boy, I know, it's the issue is they seem like, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, they seem like they want to do something. They just don't know what the something is. And that's not always a recipe for good lawmaking.
No, it's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
It's just this frenetic, frantic, we're in an information vacuum. Let's just quickly react to the rumors that are out there and the speculation and make policy. But that is the hallmark of the Colorado General Assembly. Every single legislative session, they react more to emotion and anecdote than they ever do to data.
I know. It's almost like sometimes the liberal Colorado legislative body reacts to how things make them feel, like you point out. And sometimes those feelings make them decriminalize a very, very dangerous drug that then becomes a problem 12 months later. But I might just be making that up.
No, I think it's very accurate. Also, we already have a text in, Alexa, suggesting that maybe some 710 KNUS staffers need bells, much like the salespeople, to know when they're coming near the book.
Yes, exactly. You know? That's what they need. Thank you very much. Elsewhere, we have a 16-year-old boy who was arrested on Saturday in connection with a shootout with Aurora Police at a King Soopers parking lot that happened on Wednesday night. A teen suspect, whose name has not been released because he's a juvie, is facing 7 counts of attempted murder of a peace officer and aggravated motor vehicle theft. That's according to the police department. They're still looking for another suspect. This person, though, was caught because, well, coincidentally, he was already in custody on an active failure to appear warrant.
Goodness.
Yeah. Elsewhere, we have a suspect has been arrested after a pregnant woman who had been reported missing was found dead south of Durango in southwest Colorado. Now, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation said 34-year-old Luis Valenzuela is now facing second-degree murder charge in connection with the death of Rayena Nikki Birch Woodhull, 28, of Ignacio. Venezuela was arrested Saturday and taken to the La Plata County Jail. His first court appearance is set for later today. The woman was found dead in the area of Colorado State Highway 550 and County Road 310 south of Durango on Saturday. Autopsy is still being done. Lori Smith's a business owner, said she put her Christian faith above financial profit, and her efforts to maintain both have put her in conflict with Colorado officials over the limits of workplace speech. So it's an issue our Supreme Court, yes, the big guys in the robes are taking up today. At issue is the private company's refusal to create any website for same-sex weddings, despite the state's public accommodation law prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. I don't know. I understand the legal questions as to whether or not you're compelled as far as your commercial speech, but I also think that if you have other web designers, forcing the one web designer says, I don't want to do that, seems like a really stupid argument. That's the thing. I understand if it's a monopoly, but if there are other choices in the market, why can't the market determine that?
No, they could. They could.
Why can't
but,
it?
But that's not how the other side works. The other side works to bend you to their will, and they will break you if need be to send a message to others. It doesn't matter your position on the LGBTQ thing, in my opinion. For Lori Smith, if you're a fan of any measure of individual liberty or rooting against the government to break you down and make you think and do what they want, then you're supporting Lori in this one. I feel good about her chances only because of the makeup of the Supreme Court. But I don't know, man. I don't know how this thing's going to come out.
I think because of Jack Phillips, this has got a really, really good I got a good feeling. I think it'll break for Lori. I think we got a really strong output, like 75% chance of breaking for Lori, because I think the local government is overreached. And the other part for me that I have a difficulty with is I want the market to take care of it. And if Smith says there's a certain segment of the market that I am not going to do business with or create this for them. Not that I won't do business with them. She will do other websites for gay people. That's different. It's not saying, it's not like hanging a sign up in front of your business saying no Muslims. It's just saying I'm not going to create this specific thing for a gay couple. That's okay. Yeah. As long as she says she'll do things for other gay people and other websites. That's fine. And I still think that in the market, if the business wants to say I'm not going to do X, and there are other businesses that are going to do X, if they want to not take the money from that specific market, they are free to. It should be okay for them to say, I don't want to take the money to do this. I just don't understand.
I like the way you couch that, because if it was no gays allowed, that might be one thing. But this is very unique and specific, and I agree with you. I wonder, though, if there's any chance it's not a 6-3 vote, right? Like, if it goes 5-4, who's the dissenter off of the conservatives? If it goes 7-2, that is overwhelming.
Yeah, if it's 5-4, it's Roberts. He's going to be he'll be the one that'll go the other side, if I had to guess. But the other one is, but again, we'll go down tangent for a second. Sure, let's say that Lori isn't a web designer. Let's say that she runs Taco Bell. I can't walk into Taco Bell and say, give me a Big Mac. They don't do that. They don't make burgers. Right. I don't go in there and say, they are burger phobic. They hate meat eaters. No, they don't. They just make different stuff. The idea that I then walk into a business and demand that they give me the hamburger I want when they're a Mexican restaurant doesn't make any sense. Again, they are still serving me. They're happy to serve me anything that they make, but they don't do that. Stop complaining about it.
It's even worse than that. It's like they couldn't go into the Taco Bell and say, I'd like a fat-free gordita.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
You already make gorditas. Yeah. I just want a fat-free one. They'd be like, we don't do that here.
Yes. And I want it organic. And I want it with soy.
Like, could they? Could they be forced to make an organic gordita by the government? They could
just be. Because,
But why? Why would we do that?
Yeah, why would he do that to him? Let's try to wrap up this news. Five people were taken to the hospital after an ambulance was hit by the driver of a reported stolen Jeep Sunday night in Lakewood. I don't know. If you're stealing the cars, maybe you don't hit the things with the flashy lights on top. I don't know. It's just a hint.
Worth more.
Yeah. Lakewood Police Department said around 5:40 p.m. officers tried to contact the people in the Jeep in the area of West Colfax and Reed Street. The Jeep was reported stolen. When officers walked toward the Jeep, the driver sped off and kaplow a few blocks away right into the ambulance. That's just not good. So... rolled the ambulance onto its side. It was going so fast.
I hope that person goes to jail and stays there. Is that too much to ask now? Or is it like, well, hey, they haven't stolen three or four cars in a 3-month period.
Yeah. Maybe if they got up and stole the ambulance, and then that'd be too. No, not even enough. The Colorado Buffaloes are getting an early prime delivery. See what the reporter did? I stole that from someone.
You did.
Because college football's NFL Hall of Famer Deion Sanders has been named the new head coach of the Buffs. Yes,
bam.
He's now Coach Prime.
Woo!
This will be interesting. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of pull. I think he does great in recruiting. Let's see how the on-field product looks.
I think the recruiting thing may be the single biggest, most immediate change is that this guy has already putting it out there in a way that only Deion could. There are no other coaches in college football, even like a Nick Saban, who bring that kind of enthusiasm and kind of star quality thing to it. Him saying, hey, the college portal is open, let's do this thing. I don't know, man. It could change Colorado pretty quickly. I don't mean overnight national champions. I mean overnight competitive.
if he is able to produce on the field, if he gets the X's and O's right, this could be a watershed moment for the program. And I do it because I've talked to a number of NFL players, and some of them have come from small schools. And he said it's really funny is at those small schools, you've got one or two coaches that may have had a cup of coffee in the league or have coached in the league. And he said, to a T, even in the smaller schools, every single player on the team eventually goes up to that coach and goes, so, do I got it? What do I got? What do you think?
Do I got it?
Can I make it? What do I need to do? Do you think they draft me? If I'm not, how do I make it on the team afterwards? That conversation happens. Deion is the focus of that conversation. He has played. He has the cachet. He has the contacts. So the players that want to get to the next level want to be coached and want to have contact with people that have been at the next level. That's how it happens. This could be huge.
I think it could be my only... And it's a very small concern is we're going Dan Hawkins here, which if you'll remember, he was touted Boise State coach who turns out to have not been the secret sauce up there. It was actually the assistant coach who took over for him. But he comes to see you and brings his son as the quarterback with him. That model is going to be replayed here, apparently, as Deion announces that his son is going to be QB1. I hope his son is awesome.
I hope so too. And it is that thing where now I hope that his son is, because Deion again has the connections to get that kid every great quarterback coach since he was 5 years old. Let's hope that Deion invested the time and money. I am hopeful that is what he did. So let's see what happens. And elsewhere, I guess we can talk very sadly for 59 minutes of an AFC game on Sunday. The Broncos were able to kick a series of field goals, and then at the very end, let the Baltimore Ravens and a backup quarterback score a touchdown. So then we have to rely on a 63-yard field goal attempt that was basically a perfect encapsulation of the Broncos season. The kick goes straight. Right down the middle and falls about 5 yards short. That is perfect.
If you're the defense for the Broncos, you have to be so crestfallen because you're putting out a pretty dang good product out there week in and week out.
Yeah.
And your offense cannot get into the end zone? At what point do we say this has been a huge mistake and we just move on? I mean, maybe this is Walton's effort, by the way, to take the Broncos out of Denver. Think about this.
That could be,
They get saddled right before he takes office, right before he takes over. And I'm sure, by the way, he was part of this conversation. Yes, go ahead and leverage the Broncos' future to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson craters. They put Hackett in place. He craters. And then people just are like beside themselves. They know they can't come to us and say, hey, we need money for a new stadium. People be like, we want to take the current one away from you.
Yeah.
We had more action at the 5A Valor Cherry Creek State Championship than we got out of the Broncos, which, by the way, congratulations to Dave Logan on his unprecedented.
Wow, nice.
4 in a row state championships.
Ouch.
Valor has faced off against Cherry Creek, I think, four of the last 5 years or something like that. And just ridiculous the amount of talent that's been squirreled away in coaching in both of those programs. But nonetheless, more action in that game than in the Broncos-Ravens game. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. Now, I would think that the Waltons would be moving if we didn't just have the Raiders go to Vegas. Because for me, that has always been the possibility for Broncos move. I don't think there's anywhere else the Broncos could go at this point.
Arkansas.
I mean, you can't really go back to St. Louis at this point.
Also, you can't really. Denver is such a regional team, right?
Yeah.
Like, there isn't any, other than Vegas, there really isn't anyone within striking distance.
Kansas City
of us.
Is close, but
close.
That is the problem. That is
Missouri,
again,
you know.
That's what keeps the Broncos, from what I hear behind the scenes, that's what keeps the Broncos in Denver, is because it really is the only NFL team in this region.
I mean,
we draw from
Phoenix,
Wyoming,
we draw
from Idaho,
and...
We draw from Kansas. There are a lot of other people that are Broncos fans because this is here. And if you take it away, there's a huge section in the middle of the country that doesn't have a NFL team that's close enough. I mean, we have season ticket holders that are in Wyoming. We have some from Montana that drive in. So, it is a reach.
Whoa, that's a commitment.
Yeah, so there is a reach there. So that's what they're worried about. So, and speaking of things that people are worried about, we probably should do the You Choose the News after the break.
Of course, man. I don't want to shortchange the You Choose the News. We've got to make this thing happen. And listen, I'm happy to talk about Deion Sanders. We're not necessarily a sports network here, but this is bigger than that. I'm a two-time Buff, man. 7 years I spent up in Boulder, in super conservative Boulder. When I got up there, I had Coach Mack. And we got a national championship while I was undergrad. Yes, that sort of dates me. Since then, we have been on a slow slide. We got through Gary Barnett pretty well. And then, we had Tricky Rick Neuheisel, Gary Barnett. And then all of a sudden, we just went off a cliff somewhere. I don't know what happened. And this could be the rebirth of a great program. Just as the Pac-12 is deciding what number it wants to have after Pac, that could be really awesome. Listen, stick around. When we come back, You Choose the News, and then we'll get into the show at the top of the hour. 7 o'clock, we're going to be joined in studio by soon-to-be-departing interim chief of police for the Aurora Police Department and a friend, Dan Oates. And when I say soon-to-be-departing, like tomorrow. I mean, I'll ask him, but I think he's got stuff strapped to the hood of his car, and he's going to speed his way legally out of the city and eastward as he heads back towards, I think, beautiful Florida. So stick around for that. Hey, George Brockler on The George Show at 710 KNUS. We're back here at 710 KNUS. George Brockler on The George Show. I apparently don't need to tell folks that you can text the show while it's going on by going to the 710 KNUS app or 710KNUS.com. We are already experiencing a good number of texts coming in about some things that we've talked about, other things that are just on people's minds. As you know, if you're a texter, there's a pretty good chance I'll respond to the text. That happens a lot. You can also, though, call us at 303-696-1971. No talk topic at the moment, but it's always good to hear that number. And then when you've got a thought in your head about something we're talking about, what makes this show special is really our willingness and our interest in having a conversation, not at you, but with you, and you calling in and let's do that. But now is not the time for that. Now is the time to sit back, relax, put the seat back in your car, as long as you're not doing more than 40 miles an hour, close your eyes, and enjoy the next segment, which we call Billy Thorpe's. I don't want to take away your intro, man. You do it.
Here we go. Yes, it is that time where we play everybody's favorite radio news game show, You Choose the News, where we have scoured the interwebs for mere moments this morning to find ridiculous stories and gave them stupid headlines. Why? Because someone pays us to do it. And today we are getting paid by Dr. Doofenshmirtz. Yes, we will tell you how you can get a discount on your very own Denver Broncos D-Rememberer. We will talk about that in moments, but first, we must play the game. Alrighty, sir, here are your headlines this morning. Headline number one, sometimes Jesus has bad ideas. Headline number two, get an expert for the job. Headline number three, religious failure. And headline number four, maybe Ozzy was jealous of that bat. Alrighty, sir, your choices again this morning are sometimes Jesus has bad ideas, get an expert for the job, a religious failure, and maybe Ozzy was jealous of that bat.
Religious failure for 1,000.
Religious failure. Here we are going to Thailand, all the way over, because there is a small Buddhist temple in Thailand that is suffering a staffing problem. Yes, four monks, including the abbot, have been removed from the Thailand, temple. Sorry, the Thailand Buddhist temple. The raid comes amid a national campaign to tackle a problem in the region. The problem is drugs. Yes, the four monks and the abbot were reportedly removed from the temple after police administered urine tests to them just last week, which saw every single one of them fail. Yes, they all tested positive for methamphetamines. The police did not say what brought them to the temple to get them to pee in the cup in the first place. They were concerned about what was going on. They figured it was just going to be a, you know, no big deal, but nope. The Buddhist monks tested positive, and now the temple is actually not staffed right now. In recent years, methamphetamine has become a major issue in Thailand. Seizures of the drug reached an all-time high in 2021, according to their drug office and of crime. So the country is a major transit point for meth. The drugs flood into the country from Myanmar, the world's biggest producer of methamphetamine.
Myanmar's not good.
Yeah, so the pills are sold on the street with a value of about $1.40 a piece. So they're not sure why the Buddhist monks were testing positive, but... Yeah.
Wait a minute. Come on. Yeah. They're denying that they took it, huh?
Well, of course they took it, but they tested. They're just saying, you know, we don't... You know, they don't know if it's a drug, like, you know, they're muling the drugs, or if they're involved in the drugs, or just taking the drugs. So, yeah, but a little disappointing. when you show up and you're like, yeah, the religious leader is high. That's great. That's
and for those wonderful. Folks who are like, Myanmar, where the it's the old Burma, yeah, folks. Old so Burma. Go to your maps and scratch out Burma and write Myanmar on there. It's only been that way for years.
Your second choice this morning. Sometimes Jesus has bad ideas. Get an expert for the job, or maybe Ozzy was jealous of that bat.
Dare we go back-to-back religion and potentially get struck down while on the radio. Sometimes Jesus has bad ideas.
I was worried about reading
this headline.
Is
a tough one. Tough one.
We're going to go to Columbus, Ohio, because there's a woman who recently had a sit-down conversation with the FBI because of what happened during her Southwest Airlines flight from Houston to Columbus. Documents released by the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Arkansas say the 34-year-old woman was in mid-flight when she received a divine message. Yes.
What?
Yep, she did. She said that she was told by Jesus to stand up and go and open the plane door.
No.
I'm just saying.
He doesn't do stuff like that.
Maybe he'd been hitting the line a little hard. I don't know. Maybe Jesus was a little drunk.
I don't think he does that. I think his would be make sure the door's closed.
But again, he said, according to her, the divine inspiration was to open the plane door. The flight attendant then told the woman, either use the bathroom or sit down. And she said, no, I need to open the door.
Oh, my God.
And they said, no, here, you can look out the window over here. And she goes, nope. She begins to push her way past the flight attendant and begins to grab the handle of the exit door and attempt to open the door when they were cruising at a mere 37,000 feet. Yeah. A passenger overheard someone saying, hey, wait, she's trying to open the door. And they jumped out
of their
seat.
Did they let's roll her butt?
Yeah, they did. They ran to the rear of the plane and they helped detain the woman. They wrestled her to the ground. Not before she did bite one of the passengers on the thigh.
That gets you a punch right to the face, at least one. Bam, bam.
Yep. The documents say the woman continued to bite the victim until the victim worked their fingers into her jawline to have an attempt for her to release the bite, which she eventually did.
Oh, my goodness gracious, man.
Said,
no,
that's some... when the woman began hitting her head upon the plane floor and said,
that's
no,
okay.
Jesus told me to fly to Ohio, and Jesus told me to open the door.
That's okay. Yeah. Let her hit her head on the ground. You're not responsible for that.
Yeah. Now, a little tip. If someone is biting you, do you know how to get them to release?
Offer them more money.
Well, I promise I tip. Yeah,
that turns out to have been really like jocular Tourette's. Yes. I am so sorry.
It works. The thing is, it works with both humans and it works with canines and other animals. What you do is if they have a hold of, you know, one of your fingers or hands, what you do is you take your other hand and you grab their gum and roll it up over their fingers and then press
like
down.
Juicy Fruit?
No, what you do is like, here, take your fingers and roll your bottom lip up over your bottom teeth. Wow. Now bite down on your fingers and see what happens. It hurts a little bit.
Okay.
That's what you do. That's how you get any animal to release if they are hanging on to you, if you can, if they have.
I'll
those
be honest,
lips,
the coolness and calmness of brain activity during that, I'm not sure I'm going to have that. I'm just going to be thinking, the best I could probably do is the eye gouge.
The thing for me is, I've been there, done that. So, yeah, it's you got to think
the
about
the situations
that
you put yourself into, Billy. Like, what if it's a snake? The snake latches onto you.
Actually,
is that a different
snakes,
thing? How do you do it with lips?
Snakes, snakes, a couple of things. One, you can run their head underwater, and they will go ahead and release that
so
way.
So you have to find running water.
Yeah. The other one is to rub their head. Snakes do not like their head to be messed with. And many times,
so
simply rubbing and tapping
the snake?
Their head. Well, thing is, I beg your pardon, sometimes petting the snake is needed, especially if you if you promise a tip. But the idea being that if the snake is biting you, a lot of times, and I do this with my king snakes at home that have a tendency to be a little bitey sometimes, when they clomp on, I just rub the top of their head. And they hate that. And they learn, oh, God, biting leads to this thing that I hate, so they don't bite anymore. Yeah.
But you had to find that out. Listen, I would think that all animals want to be petted. So you're saying pet the snake and earn its wrath.
Yeah, that is incorrect. Not all animals want to be petted. Some of them will react quite violently when you try that.
Here's another text tip, by the way. When a dog's got a hold of you or someone's biting you in any way, pinch their nose real hard.
Oh, yeah.
Grab their nose where they cannot breathe through it. They'll let go.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're biting down and they can't breathe through their mouth. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I've done this before, but with steak. Right?
I used to
do that. Breathe through the steak.
When my kids would have water in their mouth and I'd go over and plug their nose. That was fun. Sometimes I ended up wet.
You waterboarded your kids.
Yeah, sometimes I ended up wet. So sometimes I didn't think my clever plan all the way through. That sometimes it ended up with me in a wet shirt. But it's okay. It still was fun.
How many times, and I don't need the exact number, but a round number, how many times has Human Services been to your house? I mean, just.
Hang on a sec. Carry the one. I don't know. It's a lot.
It's a lot. We're on a first name basis. Hey,
exactly.
Gene.
Yep,
hey, Billy.
Exactly. How you doing? Yeah, they have their own parking spot.
More waterboarding. Well, there was that thing.
Your final choice this morning, get an expert for the job, or maybe Ozzy was jealous of that bat.
I feel like I have to go bat.
We got to go a little crazy train this morning because, the scientists have done some ridiculous research on a bat. These are actually the science hippies in southern Denmark. They have investigating the noise-making techniques of the Daubenstein bat. It is a small species of winged animal that is found across Europe and Asia. They recently published this study, and it focuses on the structure of the bat larynx, also known as the voice box. Why? Well, the vocal communication is essential for the bats, and they famously use sound to navigate their surroundings. Some of them are nose honkers, and some of them are actually throat yellers. So some are screamers and some are nose honkers. So they do it two different ways. These particular bats are yellers and screamers. They have really good echolocation and an impressive 7-octave vocal range that match their sound needs, the researchers said. Now, by comparison, they say mammals usually only have a vocal range of 3 to 4 octaves, but there's a certain branch of our human family that is able to replicate many of the things the bats are able to do because they fold their vocal cords in much the same way.
Death
metal singers.
Oh, what?
Death metal singers. Yes. The science
is that trained or is that genetic?
It's just kind of learned, I guess. But they say the science said that scientists found that the way that these bats create some of their high pitched and even their growling, especially the growling lower tones in their communication, is nearly identical to how death metal singers manipulate their vocal cords when they are performing. It's basically false vocal folds that are located at the top of the true vocal cords. Historically, these vocal folds were to have no role in normal human speech, hence the term false. But studies have shown that there are certain types of death metal and even growling singers that have the ability to get a hold of these folds and to create these low source frequency oscillations, just like bats. In fact, there is a Mongolian band out there, and everyone's going to think about this as the wrong term, but they're called the Who. They're Mongolian throat singers, but it's not the Who like, with Roger Daltrey. It's the H-U. They are Mongolian throat singers. They are fantastic. I've actually missed seeing them in concert twice. I've wanted to, but they are wonderful. And so go check out the Who. They're wonderful, but they are a good example of this. They are Mongolian throat singers. And so that's it. So maybe Ozzy was just jealous when he bit the head off that bat. Instead of, he was saying that
Did they spell the Who the same way?
No.
Or is it like the Woo?
It's H-U. H-U is Who.
The Who.
Yeah, the Who. They are phenomenal. Yeah.
That's not like Whoville.
No, the Who. Here, let's see if we can find them real quickly. As long as we have a couple of moments here to waste time.
We don't. We've completely run. No, you're in charge, so I don't really feel like I have the ability to tell you no. Oh, you're clicking away.
UVU. Yeah, let's do that song.
Are we about to hear the Who?
In a second, as soon as we clear the stupid. Here it comes.
You?
Nope.
Who?
Here it comes.
Who?
Wait. Hang on.
Space.
I'm going to bring it down a little bit. We're going to go further into the song. Here we go. Wait. Nope. Hang on here. Oh, I'm going to go further.
This feels like that's the music that's the backdrop for Morgan Freeman's voice when he says, the New Jersey Penguin. This doesn't feel like death metal.
No, these are throat singers. They use the same technique. But
throat singers?
Yeah. Listen to them. You'll hear
somehow
it in a
second. Somehow this is tied into the biting thing. Oh, they have lyrics
so
in the song? Is it just the...
It'll get there.
This feels like country meets death metal. Country death metal?
Kind of the same.
Well, so far, it's melodic. Here we go. God, the irony of ironies. That is my ringtone.
See, there you go.
That is...
Yo. Love this. Love this.
Do you?
So
is this...
Oh, yeah. This
you
is
sing
so
along
good.
With it?
Oh, yeah.
Does Apple Music give you the ability to have translated lyrics? Like, you know what they're singing about?
Yeah,
like, this
can.
Is about a cat.
I don't know. I mean, you can get translated lyrics when you're watching the videos online and stuff, but yeah.
Who's... someone texted in, who's on first? That should be their album. Should be their launch album.
This is so good, though.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to do a day of Who bumper music, both the kind we know and this kind right here, the throat singers.
So you have to realize that the guy that's playing one of the guitars, it's actually just got two strings on it, and he's using a bow back and forth in order to. Yeah, these guys are amazing.
I'd go see them in concert.
Yeah.
Do they travel outside of Taiwan?
Oh, yeah. They've
is
been,
it Taiwan or Thailand? Thailand, the
Thailand.
Other
Thai. Yeah,
Thai
these guys are Mongolian. They have been here in the U.S. They've been to Colorado 3 times. Yeah, I've missed them twice, though. So I'm upset.
Buddy, the texter's here once again on their game asking, do they call them Burmese pythons or are they now Myanmar pythons?
That's good, yes. They're now Myanmar pythons. Fortunately, that's it. That is the end of the issues.
Oh, no.
We went down a really weird really weird tangent. But thank you for indulging us. However, today we are sponsored by Dr. Doofenshmirtz Denver Broncos D-Rememberer. Yes, you today can get 50% off the patented blue and orange mallet. It has got a rubber top on it. And all it takes when you're enjoying the Broncos game is a swift strike to the head. And you quickly forget all the embarrassing things the team is doing on offense. Yes, you can get 50% off the Denver Broncos D-Rememberer when you order today. All right, back to you, sir.
Billy, wonderful diversion right there. I don't know how we ended up where we ended up, but that's amazing. I'm also now just seeing a story here flash up on Fox News, so you know it's real. A Goonies fan is going to buy the iconic home from the film for a mere $1.7 million. Oh. Holy smokes, man.
I'm a little jealous.
I sort of am, but $1.7 million, you could get a lot of house for $1.7 million, can't you?
What is the Goonies house?
It's
Goonies house. That is so cool.
There was a Corey Feldman shot up there from when he was a tot and normal and stuff like that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, when we come back, we're going to do what we can with the Grievance Monday. I'm happy to take any and all text/calls. Text, of course, at the app or at 710KNUS.com. The phone is 303-696-1971. I've got my own little story to share. Not me personally, but something that may impact you, especially if you're going to travel anytime in the near future. But you give us a call, we'll get you on the air as well. At 7 o'clock, we're going to be joined in studio by Chief Dan Oates, at least Chief for the moment. Until that time, you're listening to me, George Brockler, right here on The George Show at 710 KNUS. Welcome back, listener. It's me, George Brockler, right here on The George Show, 710 KNUS. I don't want to waste any time here. I do want to play the Grievance Monday music, but I don't want to take that minute away from Billy. I had forgotten, and a texter reminded us, this fits into Grievance Monday, by the way. Update us, if you would, Billy, on our good friends called the USA soccer team and their endeavor to move on past the 16.
We lost. Everybody cries. We go home. That's it.
Yeah. There's got to be more analysis than that. I tried to watch the game. We had it on at Drill.
Texted,
And there was some texting going on. Did Steve Ream stay engaged? Sheriff Reams?
Yeah, he and I went back and forth afterwards. Yeah, and happy birthday to his son. It was 16 that day. That was wonderful. Sad birthday present, but yeah.
That's fantastic. What are your takeaways from the game, man? Where did you said something horrible earlier today that we're not really an A team.
No, we are not. We are a B team, and that was revealed. And we talked about Robinson and Dest being vitally important to the team, and they did not show up. They got outplayed. And the one that was embarrassing for me was Dest being outplayed by Blind. That was awful. Dumfries on the other side took advantage of Robinson. Dumfries is a better player. Robinson plays for Fulham. Dumfries plays for Inter Milan. You saw the difference in class and what they were able to do. I think most revealing, one of the things that I thought was, I was always curious about why Gio Reyna wasn't starting for the team. When he came in the second half, I think we saw why. He didn't press defensive-wise. He mentally was not there. And he and Pusilic seemed to not play on the same field very often because they filled the same roles. The thing that disappointed me was that Berghalter did not make a tactical change. He made a personnel change, but didn't make a tactical change in the second half. Louis van Gaal, who is the Dutch coach, I went and watched his post-game press conference, and it was shocking. The Dutch coach was mad that his team was up 2-0 in the first half. He said, "We played awfully. We didn't deserve to have that lead. It was a mess." He said, "I told my team that if we play like that in the first half again, we will go home when we face the better teams." He also said the U.S. failure was because they didn't adapt to what we were doing. He said, "We knew what the U.S. was trying to do, and that was going to be attacking the wings with Robinson and Dest." He said, "So we put in tactics to prevent them from being able to exploit those spaces. The U.S. failed to adjust. They didn't change anything, so they made the second half easier for us. And that was the problem." Berghalter made the right personnel change. He didn't make a tactical change that was needed. And there were two of them he could have done, one offensive, one defensive, but he didn't do it. He basically just changed the people on the dance floor without changing the song. And that's why we failed in the second half. And you also saw, though, what did we talk about? How are the Dutch going to score? The Dutch were going to go very, very deep into the box and then cut the ball back to the top of the penalty box. And that is exactly how the first two goals were scored.
That's right. They did do that. Disappointing. So was this a coaching failure?
It was a failure on a number of things. It was a failure by young players who fell asleep. Both of those first two Dutch goals were done because the midfield fell asleep and forgot to track the people they were responsible for. And the final goal was a series of three people in a row falling asleep and not taking care of their job. Because on that final goal,
Billy, it just sounds awful.
Dumfries is free on the far side. And the number one thing is Robinson has to check that backside. He has that responsibility. And when his marker runs into the next zone, he should have passed it off to the other defender. They didn't talk. The other defender should have looked. But the person that is most responsible is of that defensive pairing, the second center back, the one that is closest to the back
post.
My
God, the detail, Billy, the things that you're watching
there
here.
There were three people that should have seen
Dumfries
coming. We should
Ted Lasso you right into the U.S. team.
None of them talked about it. None of them saw it. And that's why they were scoring on, and that's why they look like they were pretenders.
I was on a text chain with a bunch of parents of some baseball players that on my kids' team, and my response to that loss was, "Let's just let Russia invade the Netherlands." The response was too soon.
The Netherlands have a PhD in soccer, and we are still at the community college level.
Oh, my gosh. That's not even D1.
Yeah, I know. It's still a problem. So that is it. We played well. We have the pieces. Things look good in the future, but we still are missing some of the final things in the dance card. So it's difficult. But it was good. We deserve to lose.
Yeah. Listen, that does it for this first hour segment, which if you don't have a headache already, just, re-listen to it on the podcast side of things. Nothing but good stuff here. When we come back, we're going to be joined in studio by another World Cup soccer expert, a guy named Dan Oates. You know him as the interim chief of police for Aurora, but what a wizard. We'll have him in here on his way out of town. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.